setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. In other words, it's all about you, because we believe that every man and woman on the planet was created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed, and here's the most important part, you have to do it. There's somebody out there who needs you to be you. It's not about us. Doing work that matters isn't about our happiness, it is about our joy. The joy of fulfillment, the joy of meaning, the joy of significance. So we were created to work, and life is too short to live for the weekend. 70% of Americans are so unhappy at work, they hate their job. They're miserable on Monday, and all they're thinking about is Friday. The average American spends 90,000 plus hours at work in their lifetime. So that's why we're here. What we're going to do is look at what you do best. That's talent, strengths, and skills. What you love to do most, that's work that makes you come alive. You look forward to it. When you're in the middle of it, time seems to fly. And when you're done with it, it's rewarding. You know that your work matters. It's available. Let's go. 844-747-2577. All right, let's start it off with Sarah, who is calling from Nashville, our hometown here. Sarah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm good. Have a question.
Okay.
I'm halfway through a master's degree, and I'm not sure if I should finish it or change paths. I'm not doing a career I want long term, and my bachelor's degree hasn't proven to be terribly useful, social science, sociology.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to make that same mistake.
Sure. Well, first, what is the master's program? What is it?
It's human services counseling with a cognate in executive leadership, but it doesn't go to any sort of credentialing or licensing.
Okay, so it doesn't get you any of the credentialing. Isn't that a shame? I mean, honestly, Sarah, it's ridiculous that you go through all that and all that money and all that time, and you still would have to come out and get some accreditation or some type of licensing. So I'm leaning towards not finishing, but it really begs the question, where is it that you really want to end up? That's what we need to figure out, if we don't already know. Where would you like to end up?
I don't know.
No clue.
I started the master's when I was still active duty Army, and it was, I thought, would be useful as a career
to do
in the
what?
Military, but just in terms of leadership and whatnot, but the counseling component for, I like working with people and understanding people and those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if that carries over much in the,
well,
what I would call the civilian world.
Sure. Well, you know, listen, there's always some good things you can learn in a master's program, but if it does not add super specific value to the journey, meaning specifically going to allow you to be qualified to get a certain position, then, you know, it's not worth a whole lot. Now, I'm not ready to say no to this and shut it down yet, because we have to figure out where it is you want to end up. And here, you already gave me one little line that I think would fit on your passion list, the things that you love to do most. You said you like to work with people and understand people. You thought maybe that this master's program would help you be a better leader, or at least move up the leadership ladder in the military. So my question is, what are the things that you love to do most? When you think about, when you say understanding people, give me more on that. And then go ahead and keep rolling with work that you've always wondered about, or work that you know that you really enjoy. Go.
I suppose it goes with the social science and sociology of understanding why people act and do what they do. Particularly, one thing I very much enjoyed and missed about my time in the Army is working with my soldiers and in a mentorship or that sort of leadership role, trying to help guide and train them. That I really, really enjoyed. I just don't know how to get into that sort of role in the civilian world.
I think that's a lot easier than you realize. So let me ask you this. Forget about super specifics right now, and just I want you to imagine what I'm about to say happening. I want you to tell me how it hits your heart, okay? If you were making a good living in the corporate world, leading, guiding, training others, so think team environment, much like the military, you're in a leadership influential role where you are in some level, maybe doing all these things, but you're leading, guiding, and training. How would that feel to you?
That sounds like what I'd like to do.
I think so, too. So here's the good news. How long have you been out of the military?
About 3 years.
Yeah. And what have you been doing since then? Have you got any kind of resume or any kind of work experience since you've been out?
Currently, I'm doing medical billing, which is a far cry from all the other stuff I've done.
Yeah, you're sitting in the wilderness right now. Sarah, you need to get out of medical billing because somebody out there needs you to be you. And you're good at leading, you're good at guiding, you're good at training. Is that a true or false statement?
I believe it's true.
Yeah, come on. You know it's true. If I went and talked to your superior officers, what would they say? Tell me the truth. You're not bragging. Tell me what they would say about you.
That I accomplished tasks when given them. They didn't have to check on me or question me. They knew I was going to do what I was asked to do.
What about the soldiers that you were training and leading? What would they tell me about you?
Well, I'd hope that they'd say I cared and that I actually offered good information.
Well, the answer is you know they would. And so here's the thing. You have a great military background, and you've got a great resume, and the world is needing people that can step right in right now and lead people, train people, guide people. So your assignment over the next 2 to 3 weeks is to begin to identify all of the companies in Nashville, all of the roles that are available, that are open, that have some type of management experience. Even if it's project managing, even if it's something like that, just to get you in the corporate world where you are, you know, you already said some of your talents are that, you know, people give you a task and you'd see it through. So, you know, a good entry level for somebody like you that wants to be in leadership is to get into project management where you're pulling together a team. It's like a mission in the military and you're getting things done and you've got to cooperate. You've got to collaborate. You've got to communicate, you know, all those things that you're good at and you've got a great background in. That would be a nice little entry level for the whole purpose of you getting into a leadership management position. There are small companies, mid-sized companies, large companies that are looking for men and women who can lead, who, and you have a fantastic background. I want you to get my Get Hired guides off of kencoleman.com if you haven't already. I want you to rework your resume exactly how I tell you to in our, you know, fix the resume resource there that's on the homepage of my website. And I want you to get out there and hustle and put yourself out there, work the relationships, work your connections, and your experience in the military leading is a huge, huge benefit for you. And I would be dangling that everywhere. The opportunities for you are all over the place. You just have to put yourself out there. And I want you to have a huge dose of confidence right now. Because if you can lead the military, you can lead in the corporate sector, the private sector. So go for it. You know what you want to do. Now just start going for it. Don't go anywhere, folks. More of your calls coming up on The Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Shining the light on your path to fulfilling your purpose. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. Oh, we're new, folks. Well, we're not really that new. been doing this thing nationally on Sirius XM for a couple years. Now we are on your radio station, and boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Different kind of radio show. This is talk radio that's going to lift you. How about listening in to other men and women who are in similar situations that you're in? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of going to work on Monday. Enough is enough. They want to get on purpose. They want to do the work that they were created to do and live the life that they were created to live. 844-747-2577. John's on the line in Bristol, Tennessee. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken, thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate it very much. I enjoyed your book. It's fantastic, and I love your show.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm honored and excited to help you. What's going on?
Well, I turned 50 this year.
Congratulations, by the way. That's a big milestone, isn't it?
It is. I try and forget that I turned 50, but yes, it's important.
I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I've got to wait.
You know, there's a lot of neat things that comes with it.
All right. Very good. All the bad jokes, though. Yeah. We could do without the bad jokes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No doubt.
All right. What's up?
Well, I've been in sales for the last 10 years, straight commission sales, worked with a company that didn't have benefits base or anything like that, did really well. Industry changed. I needed to change. And so I got out of that career. And so in all the years I've worked, I've only worked for two companies. So 30 some odd years, two companies, which means as far as being up to date with the job market and what things are called and the interview process, I am pretty much behind the eight ball. So I'm not sure which direction to go. I thought I knew. I think I made a poor decision. So I'm just kind of wanting some advice on what to look for.
Well, first of all, the jargon and all the way people say things now, that's going to take you about 4 minutes to get up to date on. So that's a non-issue. That's an actual fake fear. I think the real fear that you have is did I make a mistake by jumping out of this thing because there were some changes? And now I'm heading into this new frontier, and I'm 50. Am I too old? I think that's probably mostly what you're dealing with. And that's just right now in this job economy, there is absolutely no excuse for you not to land in something that you really enjoy and are really good at it. Your sweet spot is what we need to be discussing. Because once we figure out the sweet spot, then there's multiple things. There's multiple jobs, multiple career paths within one's sweet spot. But all the sweet spot is, John, you've heard me talk about this, is where you use your top talents and strengths and skills to do work that, number one, you enjoy, but also creates results that matter deeply to you. So what do you think your sweet spot is?
Man, I tell you, I've thought a lot about that because I've heard you ask that before, and you've asked what is your passion and those type things. I really believe, and I believe this in every job I've worked, that it really boils down to helping people feel valued and important so that they continue to love the company with which they're working.
So were you in a leadership role doing that right there?
No, not really. I did on one occasion. I worked a part-time job that was the most favorite job I ever had. It paid about $10-some-odd an hour, so I could not.
What
do
was that
full-time.
Job? What was that?
Man, I worked behind the counter at a gun range, and so my job was to help people when they came in feel comfortable, so that they could learn a little bit and enjoy their experience. And I'm telling you, when people left there, they felt like they were family, and that was bar none, best job I ever had. Love it. Would do it again. You can't make a living doing that. But I wonder if I could take that on a larger level.
Of course you can. You can make a living making people feel comfortable so that they can win. That's what was so interesting to me. You just laid out what is essentially a purpose sentence, which answers the question why.
Yes.
You've got your purpose sentence. You said it so beautifully just a moment ago. And so that's why I asked the question, because in a sales role, straight commission role, the way you said it it led me to believe that maybe you had led some people before, because the way you said it felt like a servant leadership statement.
Right.
And I think the question is, who do you most want to serve? How do you most want to serve them? I think that's the million-dollar question for you, because I know you've got the talents to do that. I'll bet you have tremendous people skills.
Yes, sir.
What are your other top two or three talents, strengths, or skills beyond just connecting with people well? What are they?
Listening, empathy. The ability to see the big picture and come up with a solution almost immediately if I've got a context to work in on somebody's problem and how to fix it.
Golly, that to me screams leadership.
Yes, sir. I get that a lot, that I'm a natural leader.
Do you want to lead people? Do you want to lead?
I do in the right context.
Tell me what the context is.
I do in a context in which I have enough authority to be able to work independently enough to make the decisions and make things happen, as opposed to going through all the red tape and bureaucracy that sometimes goes with it.
Great. Feels like to me that's a small to mid-sized company. Or...
That sounds good.
Or do you eventually have your own business?
Well, having your own business would be great. Part of me would like that. Part of me would rather spend the next 20 years waking up every day thinking, how can I make people feel of value?
Okay, great. So how do you do that? Okay, so how do you do that?
That's why I'm calling.
No. You can't. I can't do everything for you. I've already walked you right to the door. I've walked you to the door.
True.
And I've put your hand on the doorknob. You've already said it. So I think you just said it. You want to lead teams, lead people. Dive into them. Help them win professionally. It's like I had a caller like this in my first hour. You want to help people win professionally so that they can win personally.
Yes. Yes.
So it's leading
people. Exactly right.
It's leading people. Serving is leading. And you're a listener. Your top skills are listening and empathy and then big picture thinking. So somebody comes to you and they go, John, I got to tell you, I've tried everything I could do. I can't get this disgruntled client to come back to us. And it's making me doubt myself. They said some kind of mean things and blah, 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 blah. You would eat that kind of conversation for breakfast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And would love it.
So go do it. What are we talking about? Why are we talking? Why are you still on the phone with me? You should have hung up on me 45 seconds ago. You should have been like, Ken, you should have said, Ken, this is great. I'm on. I got to go. I know what I got to do. That should be your mindset right now.
So
here's the deal.
One other question.
Go for it.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to put you on the spot in a second because you need it.
Okay.
This is the final nudge that you called for, but I want to answer your other question.
Sure. What industry?
Does it matter?
Doesn't make any difference.
No.
Okay.
Does it? You tell me.
It really shouldn't. It really shouldn't.
I don't think
customer service.
Well, but leading people. You just said customer service. I think you want to lead.
Well,
leading people.
I'm sorry.
Well, do you want to lead a customer service team?
Yes.
Great. That's even more detailed. So now we're even more clear than we were 30 seconds ago. So who has customer service departments in Bristol, Tennessee? What companies have customer service teams? Who's hiring? And you want to go in and you've got a long background in sales. So to me, a successful salesperson is qualified to lead a customer service team. Or what happens, John, if they go, well, you've never led a customer service team. Okay, great. I'm going to lead your sales team. And once you get in a company and you lead sales, then you can move over to lead customer service. There's always going to have to be some type of ladder. And so if you want to work for 20 more years, you got to be okay just getting in somewhere that has that proper context that you shared with all of us just a few moments ago. I want this type of context, which means culture. And I want the opportunity to truly love on people and serve people. And so that's what it is, man. So, you know, your homework assignment is let's look and see what leadership sales, leadership customer service type positions are available in your area. And let's go after those. And you're uniquely qualified. Don't blink an eye about it. Go for it. But you need, and if you have to get in somewhere and sell or do customer service for a while, as long as it pays what you need to make and it gets you in the door, then you can grow into that role. Just because you're 50 doesn't mean, you know, it's going to happen for you right away. You might have to do a year or 2 years of a stint and then step into it. I'm just trying to give you all sides of this thing. I don't like to give people this Pollyanna vision. There's some work involved here, but as far as knowing what you want to do, my friend, it can't be any clearer, and you have no excuse not to do it. Love John. Love him.
More Ken Coleman Show right around the corner.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. It is a safe place for you, America, to talk about what it is you were created to do. This is a scary topic for so many people. It's just fearful. Because if you let yourself begin to talk about what am I created to do, because I don't think I'm doing it, that means some change could be in the near future. And few things lock us human beings up like change will do. Oh my gosh, it'll make the chest just feel like there's a 50-pound plate just sitting there on your chest. And it's scary stuff. I love when people call in and say, I don't know what my passion is. I go, yes, you do. And we're about ready to get it out. So give us a shot, shall we? Talk and just learn about you. And before you know it, you're going to make the connection. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Jeff, who's on the line in Kansas City. Jeff, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm living the dream. How can I help?
Well, I got a question about finding passions or interests. And I'm sure you probably covered this in the past, but I'm a fairly new listener to the show.
No problem. I'm here for you, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, so a little bit about my background. I have about 10 years of experience with my company. It's a corporate company as an analyst. And so I've done a variety of reporting and statistical analysis, and I feel like I'm pretty good at that. But the issue is, my company just got bigger, and I feel pretty disengaged where I'm at because I don't feel like I'm making an impact, and the size of the company, I think, bothers me. The hierarchy structure, I just feel like a number, honestly, and I come to work, do my job, and go home. And I'm starting to think that, you know, a smaller company or even working for myself someday is really a better fit, but I don't know what I'm interested in with the problem. I think I know generally what I'm good at. I mean, I'm an analytical person. I like to do, you know, investigative type analysis and to solve problems, but I just don't know, like, in what capacity or what type of business.
And okay, great.
Maybe shed some light on how to maybe find that, start that process.
Yeah, well, we're off to a good start, because what I always do with somebody who's unsure about what they love to do, what work would make their heart sing, we always look at what you do best, because those are the clues. Because the sweet spot, Jeff, is at the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most. You see how that works? It's a beautiful formula. So we look at what you do best, talent, skills that you've developed. You've honed talent into a skill. And then we look at strengths, like character strengths, things like that. And those are going to give us clues, because now we go, okay, how would we best want to use those talents, skills, and strengths to do work that you've always been interested in or makes your heart come alive? So let's go to passion here, because I know that you're really naturally good at analytical tasks. You're just an analytical guy. You like to dig. That's the investigation. You're good at digging, and you're good at analyzing the data and seeing the patterns. My question is, are you also good at what I would call the back end of that? You dig, you analyze what you find, and then, to me, the natural result is, are you good at making suggestions as to, here's what we should do with this, so this is the actual solution to the problem I just dug into?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, because in my organization, there's so many levels, and so I got a manager, a senior manager, a director, a senior director, and so sometimes I feel like I'll do all this analysis for a project or something, or a little task that they give me, and then it never gets used, or I never know what the end result is. And
okay, so you're not in a position where you've had to give the, okay, this is what I think we should do with what I just analyzed.
Yeah, I'm more in the kind of storytelling where I'm looking at the data. I mean, I've done some presentations for plan management.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't want to get hung up on that. I was just curious if you were also good at that. Let's go over to three basic questions, Jeff, that help people uncover work that makes them happy. work that they love. So you're looking for two descriptors here, Jeff. Do you enjoy doing the job, the role, the task? And does the results of the job, role, or task have a connection to your heart? Okay? That's what we would call a passion. All right? When you think of who you most want to help or problems that you most want to solve or solutions you want to provide, what pops to the top of your mind? Just blurt it out.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking a lot. I heard you say that on another show, and I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean,
that's not true. I'm just telling you. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm confronting you. When anybody tells me that, I always say the same thing. You're a new listener. I've done this. Okay, no, that's not true. You're afraid to say it, or there's some doubt around what you think the answer is. But when I ask you that, or you've heard me say it to other callers, you have had thoughts run through your mind, but you immediately dismiss them. Yes or no?
Yeah, I would agree.
Oh, wait a second. So, tell me what pops in your mind. Don't dismiss it. Just say it.
Well, I just want a job where I'm making an impact to society in some way. I don't know exactly what role that is. I mean, you know, when I'm in church on Sundays, I think about, you know, helping, like, homeless people or something, like something that's really beneficial to solve a problem. But then I get in my real job, and I'm like, I don't know how I can make a career out of this.
Okay, you're already doing what I told you not to do. Don't qualify your answers. Just tell me several things that pop in your mind. If I could give you a job tomorrow, you're qualified. You don't have to do anything. Just show up and do it. What would you want to try to do? Don't make this thing so heavy. What work would be amazing for you? You would love to do it. You'd love to try it. The results of this would make you feel great about it. Say it. What is it?
I'm trying to say, I mean, I just want to be my own boss, I think.
I think that's what it is.
But I don't know in what capacity.
Well, but again, what solutions get you fired up? Are you telling me you never read a magazine or see something on TV or see something online or on social media that attracts you, a business, you know, or a product or a service? Have you ever asked yourself, what am I a fan of? What kind of products and services do I get juiced about? What's the answer to that?
Well, and that's another thing, too. It's trying to separate, you know, my general hobbies.
No. You know. You're talking again instead of answering. What products or services that you consume fire you up?
Well, I think, you know, working in the industry I'm in, the topic of sustainability, I mean, being a millennial, I mean, that kind of interests me, I would say.
Great.
Ideally, I would like to invent something that helps, you know, in that category.
Great. Now we have a clue.
I feel like I'm a creative person.
Good. How are you most creative?
Well, I just have to really think about things. I'm definitely a thinker before a speaker type person.
I know. That's what you're doing on this program. It's making you very uncomfortable, but it's a good thing. Because you like to you like to filter everything. You're like a coffee pot. And what I'm telling you is you can filter later. You gave me one really good clue. Actually, two. Sustainability is something that has a connection to your head and heart. You also said you're really creative. Maybe you want to invent something. You also said maybe I want to own my own business. Those are three clues. Two of those are really good. You still didn't answer my question. How are you most creative? Just say it.
Probably by observing things.
I think so, too. I think you observe problems and your mind starts instantly creating a solution. Yes or no?
Yeah, I agree.
So back to the homework. Now, here's the good news, Jeff. I tried to get you to say it on the air. You can't because that's not the way your brain works. That happens from time to time. Don't feel bad. These three questions I gave you earlier are the ones you've got to answer. Write them down. Who do I most want to help? What problem do I most want to solve? What solution do I most want to provide? You answer those questions, Jeff, on your own. Go think yourself into oblivion, but think around those questions and use the clues that you gave me just a minute ago. You're creative. How are you creative? You're a creative problem solver. That's what I think I heard. Then you love the idea of maybe working for yourself one day, the idea of inventing something around sustainability. Start looking in the area of sustainability. What are the products and services, the industries, the companies? That's your direction, man. And use the proximity principle. Get around people that are doing that. Get in places where that is happening. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. That's what you got to do. This is not as mysterious as it feels.
Coming up, more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is the Ken Coleman Show. This is the show where we help you know where to go. The Ken Coleman Show continues on with your phone calls, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Some of you out there are listening right now, and your heart is beating out of your chest because you go, boy, I know there's something more for me. I know there is. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and life is moving really fast. And I'm headed towards a future that's going to be full of regret as opposed to full of reminiscing. That's where we want to be. That when we end our journey, if we are all offered the opportunity to be sitting among our family and friends, knowing that time to move on into eternity is near, and we say, boy, it's been a good run. What a ride. I went after it. And we have more reminiscing than we do regretting. Specifically, did you live the life you were meant to live? Now, we talk a lot here about work. We're not one-dimensional people, but on this show, we know that we are created to work and that work is significant to us. And your work is significant to others. So that's why we do what we do here.
Back to the phones we go. 844-747-2577 is the number. We go to Whitney, who's on the line in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Whitney, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's so nice to talk to you.
Hi, Whitney. It's nice to talk to you. How can I help?
Well, I'm calling to get some advice from you about how to support my husband. He's been wanting to do a job change for several years now. Mm-hmm. And we feel as if we know what he's supposed to do. But,
which is what?
He's become a marriage and family therapist.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Keep going. I interrupted because I wanted to know what it was. Keep going.
Yes. So he is the primary provider, stay-at-home mom with our son.
Okay.
And I did accidentally use the proximity principle like last year because I didn't realize it existed.
Yeah, right.
So I basically have been able to replace my income that I was making when I was working my traditional job.
Mm-hmm.
Doing, like, providing for families that have childcare needs and things like that.
Great.
So it's pretty cool how that worked out, but now we're wanting to support my husband to do this. And a lot of it is just the logistics part of it that's intimidating to us.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
As far as the, he doesn't feel like he used his bachelor's, so now he doesn't want to waste going back to school, or he doesn't want to make the wrong choice. And then figuring out how to do grad school. It's all just a whole new thing that we're just kind of intimidated by how to make all of it fit.
Yeah.
And being young parents. And
how old are you two?
I'm 31. He's 32.
Okay, great. So this is all about, it just feels intimidating because there's a lot of sacrifice that's staring you in the face. And it's not going to be easy. And
right.
All of that is kind of making you second guess or making him second guess if this is in fact what he should do. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Okay,
good. All right. I'm interrupting because I know what you're about to say. Here's the deal. You started off the phone call saying we know what he's supposed to do and he knows what he's supposed to do. So end of discussion. He's supposed to do it. Yeah. Now the question is, what's the best way to get there given our reality? So we know what the mountaintop is, but there's more than one way to get up the mountain, don't you think, Whitney?
Yes.
All right. So yes. the way we deal with intimidation, which is a fancy way of saying fear, it's the fear of the unknown, because you guys go, I don't know how we're going to do it. That's what you're dealing with.
Yep, just a little.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Let's identify multiple ways to get up the mountain. How about we do that and we stop thinking about just the mountain and we actually figure out how do we get up the mountain? Stop staring at the top of the mountain and start talking to people who've climbed the mountain before. That's the proximity principle. So here's what we do know. Does he have to? He doesn't have to get a bachelor's. He just has to get. He's got to get the grad education to be able to be a therapist.
Right. Yep.
How long is that going to take? How long is the grad program going to take?
I think about 2 years.
All right. Do you have the money set aside for that?
No.
Can you cash flow that?
We believe that we can. Yes.
Okay. Now, cash flow to some people means do it as you go. I just wonder if cash flow couldn't also mean, well, we're going to delay the dream for about a year or two off of how quickly I could do it, but make life really, really tough. Or we could be a little patient and not make life so tough. That's what I mean by another way to get up the mountain. So what if instead of trying to do it as you go, he gets his attitude adjusted and he goes, all right, I'm grateful for my day job. And that day job's funding my future, and my wife's awesome. She's on board, and we're going to work together, and we're going to save up the money, and we'll wait a little bit longer for me to make the transition into the schooling. And what we're going to do is we're going to make some changes. Now, the other question I have is, can he do this schooling, this grad schooling, and keep his day job at the same time?
Yes, it's primarily online.
Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. This is so simple. So I just gave you the answer.
Yes.
You guys have two things to look at. Do we want to go with option A, which is going to be tougher on our family? It's going to be tougher on our finances. That's the pay as you go. Or do we want to be patient, press pause for a little bit, save up the money, and then we can go after it, and it's not tough on us financially. And as a result, tough on the family. That's option B. Now, let's go forward. So that takes care of how he gets to the degree and what are the two ways you need to be looking at it. Now, once he gets to the degree, he's not going to leave his day job. He's not going to leave that day job, even with that master's, until he has worked the proximity principle while he's doing the degree. Or it starts tomorrow, he needs to work the proximity principle now. And he's basically hanging out with therapists going, hey, I'm going to be there in about 2 years, 3 years, maybe 4 years. And I just want to have coffee with you and learn about your path. And while he's doing all that online stuff and holding down the day job, he's making lots of great connections so that when he gets that degree, his name is on the lips of a lot of people. And they go, hey, man, we'd love to have you. And he's not leaving the day job until he's got that offer signed, sealed, delivered. And this is what this is what Ken Coleman did with a wife and three babies. Okay? It took me 7 years to get to Dave. But I wasn't in the dream job with Dave. I was really darn close. I was certainly in proximity. I was in my sweet spot, but I wasn't in my dream job. You know that's possible. Right? So you're in your sweet spot. Your sweet spot is not the dream job. Your sweet spot is the vehicle that moves you up the mountain. And so, well, I just described for you, Whitney, how this is going to happen. And none of that is scary, is it?
No, not when it's broken down a little closer to the bottom of the mountain a little bit instead of the top. Because that's a great way to think of it. I'm very long-term thinking,
That'll scare you to death. That'll keep you paralyzed, you know.
Yes, so I've been working on dialing that back because that's not useful in all situations to be right. like that.
All I did was walk you through your answers to the three questions I tell everybody that listens to this show when you're trying to figure out how to get there. What do I need to learn to be qualified is question one. How much is that going to cost me in time and money investment? That's question two. And then based on that, how long is the journey going to be? Those are the three questions. I just answered them for you. So you and your husband need to have a really nice steak dinner or seafood or whatever food you like. Let's go on a date. Let's walk through what I just walked through with you. You two walk through together, and you come out of there deciding that we're going to think about A and B for a week, or we've decided tonight. Give each other a hug, a smooch. Walk out of there hand in hand and going, we are on this journey together and we're going to breathe.
Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.